Tonight we have a very special privilege. The Farringers have been called to Chile. And yeah, well, that was good. That was really appropriate. And in recognizing that, we had them over at the house and we had chili for dinner. But don't say chili because you'll be corrected because it's Chile. So we have the great privilege of hearing their presentation tonight, the Farringers to Chile.
It has been many, many years since I've had butterflies in my stomach at this podium. We've been waiting for tonight. You can bring it up. Oh, you got my microphone on, yeah. Rookie mistake. So you know who we are. That's us. And I'm excited tonight to tell you, really, the rest of the story. Something that we didn't figure out. And I think one of the reasons that we've been so excited about sharing this with you is because you're one of the only churches in the world that knew of our calling before our survey trip. So I hope that this rest of the story will really be as powerful to y'all tonight as it has been to my family. But you know who we are. We're the Farringer family. I'm supposed to, you know, introduce my family at this point. So that's my wife, Kara, and that's my son, Noah, and that's Anastasia, and then my mother-in-law hiding right in the middle, and Victoria. We are called to the people of South Chile. We are with Baptist Missions to Forgotten Peoples. Next slide. Oh, I can do the next slide. All right. Bam. Before I even start, you know my heart for evangelism. That is something that has never changed. I think you have seen how important I feel outreach is. And I want to remind you tonight of the power of a gospel track. When we first got back from Chile, we had like 4 or 5 days before we hit the road. And right in the middle of that was the men's campout, which was great because Noah and I got to come on the men's campout before we left. And some people were asking and they wanted testimonies. And all I would tell you was that we traced our calling to Chile to a gospel track. Well, now's the rest of the story. Missionary Aaron Smith with Baptist Bible Fellowship, he was a missionary to Chile in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. In 1982, he went into the city of Viña del Mar, north of Santiago, and he handed a lady a gospel track. And I had the opportunity to teach Sunday school and talk to you guys again at the banquet, and I hope to expand a little bit more on why I think you should be handing out a gospel track everywhere you go. I want you to put that in your memory right now because we'll get back to that. So we start in every church explaining our calling, okay? From a local church to a pioneer missionary, going to a mission field with no Baptist church, with nobody there, with no witness. And again, these are the picture we use on the left is what we use in every church. And that should look familiar to you because that was Easter during COVID. That was our Easter picture. Because if you remember that year of COVID, the only people that came to church was my family because somebody had to play the video. So that was our Easter photo. And then that one is from today, even though we're still standing in front of our church. I won't go into any of my testimony. Sometimes I have to talk a little bit about my calling as a pastor. That was very important. It's important to this. You already know my calling as a pastor. You vote as a congregation to bring me on as your pastor, so you know that. But the biggest deal was that there was a year of time from when I knew the Lord wanted me to be a full-time pastor to I left my job at the sheriff's office to be a full-time pastor. And that's always been a big part of my testimony because I knew for a year that's what the Lord wanted to do, and for a year I was convinced the Lord was wrong. And I try to do whatever else I could, and I've never had so many doors closed in my life in that year. And I got to present this in a church a few weeks ago with Pastor Lay sitting in the congregation who came to see this presentation. And he smiled at that, as I'm sure Pastor Farley does too, because that day when I pulled over on the side of the 408 in my patrol car, my detective, my unmarked car, and cried and said, "Lord, I'm sorry, I give in. I yield. I will follow your will for my life." Within 24 hours, so many things changed in my life. And I remember calling Pastor Farley and Pastor Lay, both of them, and talking for hours like a little girl about what the Lord was doing and how powerful it was. So I learned a lesson then. And that lesson is important to our ministry. So now we get to our missions conference 1 year ago this week. I was a pastor here. I did not think I would be a pastor anywhere else. I was well aware by mission conference time that our senior pastor was getting ready to announce his retirement after the missions conference. My full support was behind Pastor Tom Farley coming over as a senior pastor. As a matter of fact, I had a pen attack at once and said, well, maybe you're going to be the senior pastor. But that missions conference, I rolled in with, this is it. I'm sorry, but I love this church. And I love being your pastor. And I could not imagine going anywhere else. Amen. Just couldn't. But you all know that changed in a matter of 1 week. That was something that was very hard for us to understand. Some of y'all may have already heard the beginning of this story as care as I knew it. Most people don't. But if we've told you, you heard, when we started this process, the Saturday night of Missions Conference Week, 1 year from tomorrow, Kara and I put the kids to bed, and I said, hey, I need to tell you something. I think the Lord's calling us to the mission field. Now, that was out of nowhere. And Kara looked me in the eyes and goes, yeah, I think he's calling us to the mission field, too. And I said, well, where do you think he's calling us to? She goes, well, where do you think? And we went back and forth. And finally, I went first. And I said, well, I think he's calling us to South Chile. And I didn't know what she'd respond. She looks at me and goes, well, he's been telling me all week I need to learn Spanish. So we didn't tell anybody. We prayed on it for a few days. We had the Sunday. We had the banquet. That Monday, the next day, we sent the Werners off. That was the day they returned to India. We went over to their house. It's your tradition in India when you're getting ready to leave. Everybody comes to see you off. We thought that was a shame that we can't do that here. So we made it a point to go to their house before they left to see them off. And it led to a great conversation because then we went home and had dinner and we asked our children, just like, man, they're packing up their kids and they're getting ready to, what would that be like? Could you imagine that? All three of our kids were like, that'd be pretty cool. So we're like, okay, that's good. But we didn't say anything. Well, the ladies that were at the ladies' conference yesterday got to hear Victoria's testimony, which is much better than anything I can do right now in saying it. But long story short, she came home from school that week telling us, I think we're supposed to go to Chile, to South America. That's all I needed. You know, and again, you know my history of being a pastor and resisting that call. So I took care, I said, oh, we're going. Lord says go, we're going to go. And that's when we started telling people. This is where it got very challenging for us because we knew where Chile was and Santiago is there to the north, and we were very convinced that the Lord wanted us to go to South Chile. I don't know what South Chile is. I didn't know north, west, east. Didn't know. So I did what any good army pilot would do, and I went to a map. And if you look at a map of where Santiago is, and you follow the highway, and on the right-hand side of the screen, you can see the map of the highway. It might be a little hard to see, but the point is the highway, the one highway, Ruta 5, it stops in Puerto Montt. That's the end of the road. Now, it goes off into that island that's right there, Chilo Island, where the Lions have a family that's there doing mission work. But that's it. And if you look on the left side, you can see there's like another, 500-600 miles with nothing. It's just mountains and glaciers and penguins. So we said, okay, this must be South Chile. And if you Google South Chile, Puerto Montt comes up. It's like the capital of South Chile. So we're like, okay, we must be doing everything we should be doing. And then we started telling people. And we told some of you. We told anybody that we could when we were allowed to tell. And now something you may not know and have not heard is this became very challenging for Kara and I. Because every time we told somebody that the Lord's calling us to South Chile, we got asked, why? Do you know anybody there? No. You ever been there? No. You sure? We went to candidate school last summer with BMFP. And part of candidate school is you have to practice giving up and giving your testimony, because every time you go to a church, you have to come up just like this and do what I'm doing right now. And we met some great missionaries, young missionaries, older missionaries. And the testimonies of these missionaries was just fantastic. I mean, they were in high school, and they went on a missions trip. And they came back, and the Lord said, I want you to go back there. One missionary kid, oh my goodness, his story, he grew up as an orphan on the streets in Nepal. Got a ticket, a scholarship to come to America to go to school, got saved here in America. Now he's going back to take the gospel back to Nepal. I mean, that's just awesome. We wanted to give him money right there. Oh, man. I mean, it's great. And then it came to us. Lord's telling us to go to South Chile. We struggled with that, with not having an answer. Again, you probably don't realize that, but we did. And that's where the story that some of you came up with, because like, well, we have to say something because it's just weird. So we started telling people that we were at a Chili's restaurant. And while we were there, the waitress was lost. And we said, somebody has to reach her people. And that was as believable to, I mean, a lost person as anything else. So that was our story. And it was very confusing because for the longest time, Anastasia actually really thought we were going to be missionaries to Chili's restaurant. So that led to some confusion. Bella and Kamish are laughing in the back because the first person that Anastasia told was Miss Bella. Miss Bella, Miss Bella, we're going to Chile. That was about a month before we were allowed to say anything. And I'm like, oh no, they're going to find out. And Miss Bella was like, oh, I love that place. They got great dessert. So it worked out great. But we really struggled with that. Pastor Stewart was fantastic because when we came back from that conference, I drove him up on one of the last trips up when he was moving, and we drove back together. And so we had 9 hours coming back from Helen, Georgia to talk. And I was explaining it to him. I said, I don't know. I said, I feel this calling, but I can't explain it. And everybody thinks that we're wrong or something. And he got really upset, as only Pastor Stewart could. He said, let me ask you something. Did William Carey go on a high school field trip and realize he needed to go to India? No. Okay. Because in the last 100, 150 years, that's become the standard for a missionary. They go somewhere and see a need and then feel called there. He said, have you been to India? I said, of course. He goes, is there a need in India? Oh, absolutely. Do you feel called there? No. Have you been to Haiti? Yes. Is there a need in Haiti? Yes. Do you feel called there? No. He said, stick to your calling. It's biblical. So that really helped us. Now I want to walk you through some of the stuff that happened. August 18th of last year, Kathy Biggs gave me a letter. Now I didn't know anything about missionaries. I didn't know how they work. I wasn't the missionary pastor here. Pastor Farley was. So you don't even realize things that happened behind the scenes. I didn't. I was on full-time staff. I didn't know. But sometimes as often as 3, 4, or 5 times a week, missionaries send their packets to this church looking for support. And Pastor Farley goes through them. Some went to Pastor Stewart, I'm sure, to look. Some are just, they weren't even Baptist, but they're always sending the stuff out. I never knew that. August 18th, Kathy Biggs hands me one of those packets. It is the only time she has ever, to this day, given me one of these missionary packets that come in. She just said, hey, we just got this. This guy is he's in Chile, and he's with Amazing Grace Missions. Maybe you should reach out to him. And because Kathy knows how I feel about Amazing Grace, and I'm like, absolutely. So I reached out to Dr. Pedro Palma and started a friendship. And he said, well, let's get together for lunch. And some of you all know this now, too. In October 25th, I drove down to Miami and had lunch with him. I thought I was just going to plan something. I didn't realize it was actually an interview. He wanted to know who I was. Was I legitimate? What's my calling? And I guess I passed the interview because at the end of lunch, he says, I'm going to take you on your survey trip. I'll plan it. I'll send you an itinerary. And that's exactly what he did. We had an amazing plan. Puerto Montt is, you can see it better on the right there. But there's a lake just north of Puerto Montt, and there's these little cities all around the lake, and it's got to be one of the most beautiful places in the world I've ever been. And Puerto Montt actually has 2 good Baptist churches, but that's it. And all these cities have nothing. So he plans his entire trip. He books our domestic flights, the hotels, the rental cars, sends me an itinerary. This is where we're going to go. We're going to visit every city we can, and try and figure out what God's will is for you guys and where in South Chile. So we have this great plan going into it. December 14th, he reaches out to me. He says, hey, I just learned of a family in the city of Punta Arenas that's been praying for a pastor. Are you interested in checking that city out too? And I said, well, is it in South Chile? And he goes, yeah, definitely. And I said, add it to the list. I did that without looking at a map. Punta Arenas was added, and Punta Arenas is South Chile. So a little idea here. I think you know where that is. But if you want to find South Chile, you just find South America and run your finger to where it stops. And that, my friends, is Punta Arenas. So, great plan, and then this is added. And we're like, okay. We already said yes, we had to go. This is a fun graphic. If you're in the space shuttle looking up, the only city you'd see outside of Antarctica is Punta Arenas. So then our survey trip comes up. And some of this information up to this point, I think a lot of you would know. We were open, we were talking, and we were asking many of you for prayer, very specific. We don't know where we're going. You know, we want God to show us a door, open a door for us. Folks, I have never, ever had a clearer calling in my life than when we were in Punta Arenas. Absolutely incredible. You can see some of the pictures there. That's us in Santiago at the church we're at. That's the mountains down south. Very iconic mountain range. That's what's on the back of their 1,000-peso bill. So when you see pictures of Chile and mountains, it's usually that range right there, and that's down by Punta Arenas. But we went to the city. Beautiful city. European-style city. Since it's at the bottom, it's a port city, but this is the bottom of South America, so it's very, very strategic. So before the Panama Canal, when you used to have to sail around Cape Horn, this was a thriving city and a lot of European influence because they were the ones sailing around. Now with the Panama Canal, they don't get as much of the people sailing around the world like they did, but they have a huge military presence, again, because of its strategic location. Now, if you look over Kara's right shoulder, there's a circle that comes up. You can barely see the little gold dome there, but I'll show you what it looks like here. This is the furthest southern Hindu temple in the world. That is their claim to fame. It's right on the Strait of Magellan. Honestly, I knew that was one of the things we wanted to see. We knew that going in, that it was there. Having the opportunity to travel and see some really nice temples, I wasn't that impressed. But the fact that they're the southernmost was their claim. You can see a statue of Gandhi there, and they had some other statues that are there as well. But this is the temple, and not only do we find this, right across the street from this was a really, really deep Pentecostal church. So they're there. The worship that's there, these idols, this had nothing to do with the temple. This was on the other side of town. This was just one of the grocery stores. And that was something that you don't really see in the States. I've seen other places. You can see on the right is the Virgin Mary with baby Jesus. The poverty that's there, I mean, the street corners loaded with people. Almost every corner has got people out trying to wash your windows or do little tricks in the street. Some of them are actually really, really good. But then they'd come talk to you in the cars. And that actually led to a unique opportunity because I'd pull up like this, and my camera's out, and he's coming right to me. Here you go. Here's a couple pesos, and here's a track. So we got to hand out tracks to him. I enjoyed that. The port city here. This is a slide that's really just for you guys. I don't know if I'll keep this in the presentation. But what I wanted to tell you is with the issue of traveling and trying to get support, when we went and saw these kids doing the street show and stuff, we took a video of this and we sent it to our kids back here. And we told them that if we don't get fully supported, they're going to have to learn how to do this. So, the cults are down there, the Jehovah's Witnesses. They have to dress a lot warmer than they do here, but they're there. The Mormons are there. All of it. It's there. The crime. The graffiti, and you'll see in any of the pictures, the graffiti is on absolutely everything. I walked under a bridge one night, and they didn't even bother to look to see who was walking. They didn't care if it was a cop or anything else. It didn't matter. They're just doing their thing. Very, very sad. And then the false worship that's there, worshiping idols, worshiping this crucifix here. This was very, very sad. The one all the way on the left was a life-size crucifix that they had burned up and then thought it looked really, really neat, all burned up like that. So it's all encased in glass, and you can come in and bow down to that. Evidently, if you're unsure which Jesus you can worship to Jesus sometime in his ministry there. You can worship him, and you can see the thrones that are there to bow down. And you can worship baby Jesus. I mean, whatever you're looking for, you can find. And it's very sad because it's religion at its worst. And then the open sin. I can't show you pictures of that. But one of our first takeaways in Puna Arenas, besides the beauty, was a strip club on every corner. I've never seen, and I've been to a lot of military bases. He's laughing, you got that, yeah. I've never seen so many strip clubs in one place. And it got to the point, I actually Googled it, which is a dangerous thing to do, to Google anything about strip clubs. But I Googled how many strip clubs are in Puna Arenas. And the first article came up was written by, it was like a tourist article, and it was titled, Puna Arenas, the strip club at the end of the world. The homosexuality was everywhere. We got asked, I think, last night by the students, you know, the difference between here. There are some differences. It's not in your face as it is in the States, but it is open. Abortion, they don't have open abortion like we do here. They do have exceptions for the mother's health and for rape and stuff, so you can, but you can't just go out and get one like you can here in many states. But the sin that we saw, just so dark. You can see here again, Santiago is there. Punta Arenas is on the bottom. 160,000 people, no gospel light. There is nothing there. The closest church is an American missionary, is in Cahoyoque, a Bible Baptist church in Cahoyoque, that is 527 miles north. It's the closest Baptist church in Chile. And from him, his claim to fame, because right now he's like one of the southernmost Baptist churches in the world, you have to drive 8 hours north from his location to get to the next Baptist church. So the need there is absolutely great. But there's a need everywhere. There's a need here in Claremont, right? I mean, you don't have to travel around the world to find, you know, poverty, to find people that are worshiping the wrong thing, to find people that aren't worshiping at all. I mean, part of this missions conference, I hope that you take away from, is not just the faith promise of giving, but you're also called to get out there and do it. It's both. And so then that leads to this question, why my family and why so abruptly last year? Again, we started this missions conference last year with, I'm going to be here forever. The end of the week, we got to go. Question we didn't have answered. Until we met the Villan Beltran family. This family lives in Punta Arenas, and we went over and had dinner and tea with them, and they shared their story with us. So Elvis is an officer in the Chilean Navy. He was stationed with his family, his wife, and they had a 13-year-old son, in Viña del Mar. That's up north of Santiago. Again, it's on the coast, big Navy base, makes sense, right? In the end of 2021, he was told by the Navy, and this is Chilean Navy, not us, but he's told, hey, we're transferring you. You got two duty location choices. You can go to Santiago, or you can go to Punta Arenas. And he said, I told him I don't want to go to either of those places. And they said, don't care. So I guess militaries are the same no matter what flag they have on their shoulder. So him and his wife talked, and they picked Punta Arenas because of their 13, now 14-year-old son, and because of the crime in Santiago, and they just don't want to take their son to Santiago. So last spring, they moved to Punta Arenas, specifically the last week of February last year. They got down there, and they spent 2 weeks trying to find a church. There is a Baptist church. It's part of the Baptist Convention of Chile. Very liberal. Female pastors and wrong by. I mean, just, you know, Baptist name only. They tried going there, and they said, we can't worship. And they were so convicted that as Christians, they had to assemble. They did not feel right watching a church service online. They felt, we can still be attached to a membership of our church, but we have to go somewhere and be with Christians. And they couldn't find anything. So they told us as we were sitting there drinking tea, that around the third week of last March, they started praying for the Lord to send them a pastor to start a church. They told Kara and I this. And I said, that's pretty neat. Let me tell you my story. By the time we were done sharing, they were crying. We were crying. And now we know why. So here's the rest of the story. I already told you in 1982 that an American missionary handed a gospel tract to a lost lady in Vina del Mar. That lady took the tract home, read it, came under conviction. In 1983, she went back to the church and got saved. In 1984, her son, a young kid at the time, also accepted the Lord. Church was planted. They were the first two people baptized in that church. Fast forward to the 90s, 1996, that American missionary is called back home to teach at Bible Baptist Fellowship Seminary. And the church votes for that young kid to become the new senior pastor, whose mom had gotten that gospel tract. Vina del Mar is where that Navy base is. This was a home church of Elvis and his family. When they left to go to Punta Arenas and couldn't find a church, their membership was still at this church. And they called their pastor for counsel. We don't know what to do. And he's the pastor. Said, you need to pray. And several months later, at a fellowship event, he just happens to know Dr. Pedro Palma of Amazing Grace Missions and made a comment, yeah, I know this family down there and they don't have anybody and they're praying for somebody. And he called us. Now, I'm sure all of that is just a coincidence. But I can tell you, I am so happy that we stepped out in faith when we did. And the Lord has really honored it. We will plant a church down there. We've already got the name for it. It's going to be Iglesia Batista Independiente de Punta Arenas, or Sandy Point Independent Baptist Church. Punta Arenas means Sandy Point. It's not technically Sandy Point. Back when Magellan found this whole area, it was originally called Sandy Point, and then they tried to change the name to Magellan 100 years later. Nobody liked it. So they went back and they shortened the name for Sandy to Arenas. But it's everybody calls it Sandy Point. We're going to plant that church. We're going to raise up a pastor. We're going to hand it over, and we're going to plant another one. And when we think Punta Arenas is sufficiently covered with the gospel, and they're probably going to move north to Puerto Natales, the only other city down there, a smaller city, and we're going to plant a church there. And we're going to stay there, and we're going to do this until the Lord brings us home. So I hope you'll consider being a part of that. I mean, you're my church. You don't really have a choice, I guess. But you've seen our table. I would point out, if you are unfamiliar, we do have a Facebook page. If you scan the QR code that's on our prayer card or on our sheet out there, our banner, it'll take you to our Facebook page. I'd encourage you to like it because you'll get updates, because we're constantly posting where we are, what's going on, answered to prayers, things like that. And then I've given our kids their own YouTube channel. I do not do it. They are doing it. And they are documenting what it's like to be a missionary kid right now on deputation and eventually in the field. So these are videos that are coming from them. And I would encourage you, some of you have already seen one or two of the videos that's up. I think we're getting ready to post another one. But if you're not noticing these pages, then you should check them out. I think they'll be a blessing to you. God bless you.